Yo, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Willie Earl, and next to me is Mr. Rufus, and we'd like to welcome y'all to the Freedom Train podcast series. What up, Rufus?
What's up, Cleophas?
My name is Willie Earl. Get it right. Okay.
Willie Earl Cleophas.
And you got to say Willie Earl. You got to say it all one. You can't say Willie Earl. You got to say Willie Earl all one.
I said Willie Earl. Willie Earl Cleophas.
Don't tell nobody my middle name. Hey, man. Remember that Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure y'all visit the website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the code of conduct, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved. Hover your mouse over that learning center. If you're on your phone, hit that learning center tab. You get that drop down box. Bam, all them good resources that you can use for yourself. Don't forget about the Amazon Smile Program. PAX Inc. is a part of the Amazon Smile Program, where log into Amazon. Actually, you just type Amazon Smile in your thing, in your search bar. Type Amazon Smile, bam, website come up, and you're registered. And you can also register to support one or more nonprofit organizations. So you register, and you select PAX Inc., bam. So every time you buy something, a portion of your proceeds go to PAX Inc. So every time you log back in Amazon, log into Amazon Smile, go do your shopping, bam, buy you whatever you're going to buy for yourself, bam, part of it, go to PAX Inc. And there it is, PACTSINC.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Learn more about myself, Willie Earl. Learn more about Rufus. Learn more about Shelby, Candace, Enigma, Cliff, everybody that's a part of the Freedom Train family. Yay, yay! Really going down. What up? What up? What up? We back. Hey, man. So you directing the orchestra now? Are you waving
I was doing interpretive dance.
Oh, okay. And yeah. What were you interpreting?
What you were saying, I studied interpretive dance in the seminary school of seminarians.
So what's the difference between an interpretive dance and a praise dance?
A praise dance don't have no interpretation to it. You're just praising.
Okay.
An interpretive dance
don't have no praise to it. You're interpreting.
Interpretation. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Hey, boy, you genius. You genius, boy. That is.
Hey, my mom ain't named me Rufus for nothing.
Hey, it is. It's snowing up there?
Nope.
It ain't not. Did it snow?
Nope.
Oh, so you too far east for the snow. Everybody else complaining about snow. It's snowing in Texas, but not in Charlotte.
It's kind of crazy that it's even snowing in Texas, though.
And then think about what I just said. It's snowing in Texas, but it ain't in Charlotte. It wasn't no snow in here in Florida. It was cold. It was rain, but it wasn't no snow.
It wasn't even really that cold up here.
It was cold. It was Florida cold. So.
Yeah, up here it was Florida cold. But like I'm saying up here in Charlotte, it was Florida cold.
Right. I got you. So, we got a good show for y'all today. Hold on to your butts. Got a couple topics, and depending on how much time we got, we might squeeze in three topics. But one of the first things we're talking about is there's a black candidate in the Michigan governor's race who want white people to like him so much that he says if he wins the governorship of Michigan, that he will cancel Black History Month. Yeah. So we're going to let his ass have it. We're going to read the information to go in on him and formulate this stuff. Because, you know, yeah, we're gonna see some more stuff he said. Also, Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo down in New York City. New York City. Remember those Facebook contacts? So Cuomo's office is being accused. They allegedly hid nursing home COVID-19 data out of fear of the Donald J. Trump administration. And we don't know about how we feel about that. I'm from Florida. I'm in Florida. You know, we already had our COVID data hiding issues that are still going on that have popped off over the nation. So we're finna see what we're talking about with Cuomo. So, and if we have time, we'll get into the removal of Marjorie Taylor Greene from the GOP. Well, she ain't removed from the GOP, but she removed from the House. So, you know. So let's start this thing from the top like we're supposed to do. Because if you don't start it from the top, I was about to say something next. Never mind. Pat, start looking at porn on your phone.
I'm not looking at porn. I'm looking at words.
With words with porn?
No.
Okay. So, let's talk about your homeboy real quick. So,
all right, let's do it.
What is his name? Austin Chingy. So, ooh, a black Republican.
All the way up.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He's trying to mess black history all the way up. So, F him and F you too. A black Republican in Michigan declared that if he wins the 2020 gubernatorial race, he would replace Black History Month with American History Month, as if for the other 11 years, it's not dedicated to American history. Even in February, it's dedicated to American history, because Black history is American history. And American history disrupted Black history. And you should see his picture, because this picture looked like, if you type coon chicken in in the search in the search bar, and you'll get an image. Type it in right now. You got your phone in your pad. Coon chicken in, type that in your search bar. And you're going to see an exaggerated image of like the black face. That's kind of what he looked like in his smile, his regular face. Coon chicken in. So Austin Austin, a black army veteran businessman and the first Republican opponent to throw his hat in the political ring against incumbent Governor Gretchen Whitmer, announced via Twitter that he would cancel Black History Month. So he's like, I would cancel Black History Month in Michigan. It's offensive, unfair, maybe illegal. Americans from all backgrounds deserve a revered history. I'll declare American History Month. Austin Chingy. His name will be Chingy today. Austin Chingy, he's a veteran, the first Republican governor candidate for Michigan. So he says Black History Month is offensive. To who? So black people, not fuck him. Fuck. First of all, let's break this down. Black people were denied our history. What? First of all, let's deal with, why does Black History Month exist? Let's deal with that, Pat. Why does Black History Month exist?
Because black people were not being recognized for their historical achievements and not getting an opportunity to study themselves in their own history. I mean, Carter G. Woodson, I'm simplifying it, of course.
Yeah, that's cool.
But Carter G. Woodson said, yeah, we need a time and a space for us to study us and learn about us. And so he's, you know, it started with Black History Week, and it became 2 weeks, and it became the whole month. So
1926.
Mm-hmm. Carter G. Woodson. You should get his book, The Miseducation of the Negro.
Because this Negro is miseducated.
Heavily.
Austin Chingy is heavily miseducated. So, because he's saying it's offensive. Black History Month is offensive to people who are racist and people who support racist stuff. That's who is offensive to. Because why would you be offended about a group of people learning about themselves when you have all rights and privileges to learn about yourself? Okay. He says it's unfair. It's unfair to who? So if you want to say, well, other groups of color, so who stopped the other groups of color from pushing for their own money? Because we certainly haven't.
But other groups of color have their own money.
Like, oh, so, well, there we go. Well, there we go, then.
Let's run it down. I had to look it up, so I am looking at my phone now. I had to look it up. So February is Black History Month, because I know everybody has their own month, but I couldn't remember what those months were. March is Women's History Month / Irish American Heritage Month. May is Asian Heritage Month / Older American Month / Jewish American Month. June is Gay Pride Month. September is Hispanic and Latino Heritage Month. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month and National Italian American Heritage Month. November is American Indian Heritage Month. So, like, other groups have their months. The only group that you can say doesn't have a month is like the UK Americans, like the British Americans.
But we learned their history already.
Yeah, we learned their history the rest of the months. And like Irish Americans have their own month and Italian Americans have their own month. So those are two groups of white people right there with their own Heritage Month.
And so for those who don't know, Austin Chingy is a black man of, I believe, Nigerian heritage.
Yeah.
So but what you just read destroys everything that he's saying about it being offensive and unfair and maybe illegal. So it's so everybody doing illegal stuff then. That's what that according to him, right? Everybody's being unfair, offensive, and illegal to everybody else. And go ahead.
Just black people.
Okay, just black. And notice the black man who's running for governor of Michigan could have done what Pat did a simple Google search and seen who all had that. Because if you're gonna cancel Black History Month, you gotta cancel everybody. I'm just saying, you got to be fair. You got to be fair, unoffensive, and legal, right?
But you know, most people don't. I'm not going to say most. Only reason I knew there were other Heritage Months is because every February we deal with this argument. And so years back, I was curious to see if there were other months. Other people had Heritage Months that I just didn't know about. And lo and behold, yes, there are. I don't know why more people don't like ask that question. Like they immediately say, well, black people are the only ones with a Heritage Month. They don't even bother to go and look into it.
Cause a lot of people don't even know that there's a Heritage Month for them.
Right. So, but if you're learning about your heritage all of the time, it's really not that big of a deal to you to have a month. It's just like a nice thing. But the obsession that both black and white people have with doing away with Black History Month is amazing to me. Yeah. Like, this shit is just crazy.
I remember what was the interview? The white guy was asking Morgan Freeman about Black History Month, and he was like, "Why should black people have a White History Month? Why should black people have a Black History Month? There's no White History Month. There's no other History Month. There's none of these other History Months." That's my Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad Morgan Freeman. I can't see you, so all I can do is hear it. And I was like, that's not a bad Morgan. It don't sound exactly like him before everybody be like, that didn't sound that like. No, but that's a pretty good Morgan Freeman.
But it's like... But after sitting back thinking about it, I like, oh yeah, he's an actor. He's an actor. So
yeah,
but it's like it's about it's compromised Negroes. And I do want to let people know this. I just listened to Malcolm X's speech at the Audubon, so I'm on one right now. So, and especially for sellout Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Catch the connotations in my eyes, people. Sellout Negroes. But it's like Chingy over here. That man ain't going to be Chingy.
Right. Straight up.
It's so basically you're like, I will eliminate, first of all, with him being of Nigerian heritage. I want all black people. Oh, and they say the Nigerian delegation shut down his outrageous proclamation on Twitter. So the Nigerians is like, hey, we don't rock with him. We ain't down with that. We don't agree with that. But the notion is, I wanna be liked by white people so bad that I'm willing to disable the celebration and the opportunities for futures of black people to learn about their history and heritage. And that's why I asked you to say what you said about why does Black History Month exist? Because a lot of people seem to have a problem with understanding why Black History Month exists. And they like, because remember that one conversation we had a couple of years ago when the young girl was like, Black History Month is stupid and all these things here. And we kind of had to not necessarily go in on her, but go in the idea of Black History Month being stupid or Black History Month being unproductive. And people have to realize, if you go through Black History Month yourself and it's unproductive, who stopped you from being productive in Black History Month?
Yeah. Yeah, that's on you. Well, I mean, but it is interesting that he's Nigerian only because Trump had a lot of support in various places in Africa, and Nigeria was one of those places. So, but you know, we've talked before about how black people tend to be conservative. Black people the world over really tend to be conservative. The only reason black people in America don't vote conservative is because, you know, the conservatives are openly hostile. But it's to me, that's still an interesting thing that he is Nigerian. But it's also interesting that he thinks he has the power to cancel a federal declaration.
That's another thing, too. That's another thing. But it goes back to what I was supposed to be saying. It's like, I want all other black people who are not native of America, who are not the descendants of the slaves in America, to understand something. If it were not for the sacrifices and the work of black American people, you would not be able to enjoy the liberties and the freedoms and the things that you have here in America, and for some of y'all places in your own countries. Black people in America died, bled, shed tears, and led a charge and led a movement that created change for black people around the world, but especially for black people coming into America. The fact that this fool is able to run for governor is because of the blood and sweat and the tears of the black people who were slaves in America. The fact that this fool think he can say what he said is disrespectful. And the only reason I ain't gonna cuss like I want to, because YouTube be messing stuff up. YouTube be trying to censor your video, but other than that, you know, I be going slap off. So I'm going to find some other word. Mickey Fickies. I'm going to use all my BET curse words. But Mickey Fickies like him, right? It's shameful. It's disgraceful. It's treasonous. It's all these things that I can think of, because you are basically spitting on the sacrifices and the blood of our direct ancestors. And the fact that you can come over here and have the freedom that you have to achieve what you have achieved is because of the sacrifices from our direct ancestors. So I want all black folk who are able to enjoy these liberties that you have to stop getting it ficked up. I can't. I must just say it. Y'all got it fucked up. All right. Stop getting it fucked up because it's disrespectful. It's disingenuous. I say it again, treasonous, all these things, because y'all have, it's no loyalty with black people. It's, but we know this dude is a coon, but it's many other people. It's many other black people who may not be coons, but who don't really understand, or they may understand, but they don't give a damn about the sacrifices that our descendants or our ancestors made who were enslaved here in America. Like, people were getting terrorized.
Mm-hmm.
And you all are able to benefit from that. Y'all better get y'all damn minds right.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to get that off my chest, Rick. Yeah. Yeah. Power to the people.
That's a mic drop moment. I ain't nothing to follow up with.
Hey, that. I just, man, look, I feel you, man. It just, it's, what's crazy though is, like I say, looking at him, if you type in, go in the search bar and type in Coon Chicken Inn, you see the face and you see his face, you'd be like, damn, buddy, look just like the Coon Chicken Inn face. But it's just, you got to stop. Black folk got to stop cooning for white acceptance. It's the illusion of inclusion. White people do not like sellouts. They don't like their own sellouts and they don't like other people's sellouts. They use you. And when they're done with you, they discard. Get your mind right. Get your mind right, Chingy.
Chingy. I like the way you do that right there.
Right there. I'm Morgan Freeman. And Black History Month. That's my first time ever doing a Morgan Freeman, too.
Yeah, with the celebrities, actors, all of them, like, I don't know. You know how I feel about
compromised Negroes.
Yeah, you know how I feel about all of them. You know, you hear one or two of them that sound like they know what they talking about, like a Jason Williams or somebody like that. But for the most part, I'd be like, yo, man, your job is to shut up and fund the movement. And that's, you know, that's different from saying shut up and dribble. Like, if you've researched or you studied like Mr. Glover or other people, then fine, speak your piece. But like, these topics are too serious for you to just be blaring your shit out on a platform because you got one. Like, shut the fuck up.
But Danny Glover and Wesley Snipes, folk like that, get it. They understand that the power is more so going to come from what they can fund rather than what they can say.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we know, like, Wesley Snipes got in trouble. Subsequently, he got in that tax trouble after he was helped make that Dr. John Henry Clark movie. So the long mighty walk to freedom. So after he helped to get that produced, that's when he got into the tax troubles. We know Danny Glover has had trouble with Hollywood getting certain movies passed and things. But it's like, if you are research, like you said, if you are researched and studied, then there's a place for you. There's a place for everybody. And everybody has to understand their role that they play. This is a team. It's a team sport. Racism is a team sport. Everybody not going to be a speaker. Everybody don't need to speak.
Right.
Some people really just need to fund the movement. You don't have to say nothing when anything happens. People can be mad at you. But when they really look beneath the surface, because like we found out, about, we had to eat a lot of our words that we had said about Michael Jordan. Trying to find out the man been funding stuff on the low for the longest.
Mm-hmm.
So he still don't get a lot of credit for that, but
nah, because
then again, you know, you still got people that saying that he has a part in the prison industrial complex. Not, but that's not that. That's a different Michael.
Yeah, Jordan. but it's, look, man, conspiracy. Like, I was talking to a young man earlier today, and it's kind of going left a bit, but talking to a young man earlier today about the COVID vaccine and things like that. And people are just going off of conspiracy theories because, you know, Negro.com, that's a powerful website that don't exist, but it's a powerful website because that's the wire. That's where everybody get their information from. Mm-hmm. So dude went to Negro.com, got his conspiracy theory information, and it's like, I believe this because it sounds good. And so my question to him was, well, what evidence do you have to prove that? Because even if you say, I don't trust the government's information, so what independent studies have you done to verify it? And I'm saying that, and I'm just saying that because people don't do their research to verify the things that they believe.
Right. That's kind of what I was fixing to get at, because it's like, if you're going to research a topic and call yourself well-informed, you got to research all angles of it, like all sides of it. So you can't just read a conspiracy theory and think that you're informed on the vaccines. No, you have to read those other things that you don't want to read as well. You got to read what the government is saying. You got to read what scientists are saying. You got to read so that you know all the ways around the particular topic. And I think that's, confirmation bias is a real thing.
What?
People aren't well researched. They're well read on one particular perspective. And even that sometimes is a stretch because they only look at one or two websites.
But an unresearched conspiracy theorist is just a babbling fool.
Yeah, but if you got a lot of babbling fools together, babbling the same bullshit.
Right, because it's like I told Buddy, do you realize a lot of the rhetoric that conspiracy theories regurgitate, it was created by the government?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I was watching, I think the name of the movie is When the Night Comes. It's on Amazon Prime. It's with Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington. And it's basically the aftermath of when Fred Hampton was murdered or assassinated by William O'Neill and the police and stuff. And Anthony Mackie played a part of one of the ex-Panthers. And it was a young, like, Kerry Washington's, I think, like her son or her little brother, her son or something. He wanted to be a Panther bad. And a lot of the information he was getting was through like little cartoons and stuff that was like, kill the pigs, kill the pigs, kill the pigs. But Anthony Mackie had to tell him, them cartoons you're reading was created by the government.
Mm-hmm.
But he internalized this and actually went and killed a police officer and made things worse, because you have no structure, no organization, no mobilization, no defense, no none of these things to help yourself. And then you go out and kill a cop. And now you got to be on the run by yourself. And you just put your family in harm because you just decided to do something based off of something that you read and you didn't understand. So.
Yeah, but that, I mean, honestly, and we're actually teaching researching skills right now with the group that I'm in. But it's crazy how poorly developed a lot of research, a lot of adults, black adults, research skills are. And these are the loud people with the megaphones that want to get all over social media and blast their poorly researched opinions all over the place. And it's really sad and disgusting when you understand what's happening. Like, you know, we've had this conversation a lot. Like you said, a lot of the conspiracies that are prevalent in the black community was started by factions of the government that don't like black people.
Cointelpro.
It's real easy to, it's real, like, even now, hearing how many black people are repeating conspiracy theories created by Donald Trump and Fox News in that echo chamber that have managed to penetrate into the pro-black space and now have become black fact. You'd be like, yo, I understand you take the meat and spit out the bones. You take what you can use. And I understand you accept the message and you leave the messenger alone. I get all that. But you also have to acknowledge that the message that you're getting is colored by the messenger giving it to you. Like, you got to pay attention to where you're getting your information from.
You do. You have to research your research and you have to follow the breadcrumbs and understand, because you may think you are informed, but you a lot of times you just misled so vigorously misled, and it's more harmful to you and everybody else around you because you actually believe what you're saying,
right?
But you half-assed your research, and since you did that, it's like for me, like I said, a couple months ago when I was watching some of the lectures, like all day, I was watching Dr. Renoko Rashidi lectures, like all day. And shout out to Dr. Renoko Rashidi.
Shout out to you for that interview, though. Yeah.
For stopping by my own show's Giants channel. I really appreciate him. And you definitely know I'm staying in touch with him because we're going to work together. But one of the things that made me feel good is because, like I said, I was watching him. I went to work that day. I had to be to work at 12. And it was like a 45-minute ride to where we were working that day. So I'm listening to the lecture from when I left my house to when I got to the destination. So that's like an hour. So I'm listening to that. And then when I'm leaving, I'm listening to another one. And so that day I listened to like 5 straight hours of lectures from Dr. Rashidi. And a lot of the people that I've profiled on my Own Souls of Giants channel, he was talking about, even this past Tuesday. Go check it out. Own Souls of Giants YouTube channel. Go check it out. Subscribe.
Check it out.
Subscribe. But he started talking about Antara Ibn Shaddad. And I'm just like, man, I got buddy whole life story right here. He also was talking about the Candaces. I'm like, I got the Kandaki. I got their story right here. My mom's earlier was watching some of the Skip Gates, the Henry Louis Gates stuff, historical stuff he be doing. And he was starting to talk about Abdias do Nascimento, who was a Brazilian, Afro-Brazilian freedom fighter. And so like, I'm starting to hear all these historians talk about or mention the people that I profiled on my channel. And it's just make me feel good because my research has been good. I did good research rather than just getting little pieces of the story. So, or just finding something and just making up my story from there, just like cross-referencing all these different things, putting them together. But proper research is important because we don't research properly, we're going to miseducate ourselves and we're going to leave ourselves more vulnerable to be more oppressed.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So
fuck Chingy.
Yeah.
Bring it all the way back.
Can you can see this? You see by the picture?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that don't look like one of them minstrel show pictures.
It actually does, and I feel bad saying that.
It does, and that's his regular face.
That was worse.
Right. You know I got to take it left. You know I got it. I had to put the extra sauce on it.
Oh, that was worse. Yeah, that was worse.
But we're going to keep this show moving. We're going to get off of Chingy. Right there.
Right there.
So we've dealt with the suppression of COVID numbers here in Florida. I'm in Tallahassee. I'm in the capital city. So, you know, a lot of stuff moved through here. There was a lady who was fired. Can't remember her name, but she was fired for alerting others that the COVID numbers in Florida were being falsified. There's a lawsuit now or surrounding that.
Yeah, she had a house raided too, didn't she?
Yes. That's where the lawsuit is really coming from, because her house was raided by the police, who were basically saying that she did some illegal stuff, which turns out she did. So Ron DeSantis, according to her, is behind this. And we, you know, DeSantis ain't that smart. So I'm sure there's all types of loose ends. But I'm saying that to preface what we're getting into now about Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York had hid COVID-19 data out of fear of the Trump administration. So let me read a little bit of this to y'all. So the office of New York Governor Andrew, boy, what the hell you wearing, Cuomo, confirmed Friday that contents of a recording that shows the governor and his team withheld from state legislators the true number of coronavirus deaths at New York nursing homes out of fear it could be used against them by the Trump administration. Hold up, Cuomo is right or left?
Cuomo is a Democrat, I believe.
Okay. Hold on.
What?
Okay. So, because I'm thinking, I got my shit mixed up. The Democrats, that's why I keep telling people these Democrats ain't that goddamn smart. That's why I keep telling people that. Stop acting like these Democrats are smarter than that much smarter than these Republicans. So he like, I'm not going to give real COVID numbers because I don't want Trump then to use it against us, even though it's going to hurt the people who we want to vote for us. And we're going to suppress this to after the election so people can vote with us. And we're going to put it out at such a time so next election roll around, people have been forgot. And then the Democrats, now, okay, see where my mind went. So the governor's top aide, Melissa D. Rosa, confirmed the contents of the recording of a September conference call with the Democratic state legislators, first reported by the New York Post, in which she admits that the governor's office withheld numbers due to concerns they would be used against us by the Justice Department under then President Donald Trump. Goddamn, Andrew. The figures were ultimately revealed last month as a part of an investigation of COVID-19 nursing home deaths by the Office of New York Attorney General Tish James. Sources tell ABC News that Albany lawmakers will begin discussing whether to strip Cuomo of some of his coronavirus emergency powers in the aftermath of the revelation. Shit, yeah, you better. He ain't that smart. It's unclear whether the leaders of either the Assembly or the Senate would be on board with such a move. He starts tweeting that we killed everyone in nursing homes, DeRosa said of Trump on the conference call recording, a transcript of which was provided by DeRosa to ABC News. He starts going after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, California Governor Gavin, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. He directs the Department of Justice to do an investigation into us. And basically we froze because then we were in a position where we weren't sure if what we were going to give to the Department of Justice or what we give to you guys is going to be used against us, DeRosa told the legislators. We weren't sure if there was going to be an investigation. Help me wrap my mind around that, Pat. Like, that's the best decision they could have made.
I don't think it's the best decision they could have made, but I understand it from the standpoint of Trump wielded a lot of power in terms of the Republican base and in terms of Congress and the judicial system and being able to manipulate the American populace. And we already have COVID problems the way they are because Trump refused to acknowledge COVID as a problem. And I think what they were thinking was, if this information gets out and Trump gets a hold of this information and starts attacking the state of New York, and, you know, Cuomo had become like America's governor. During the whole COVID situation, he became the face of responsible COVID management.
Right.
So I think they were looking at everything and they were like, if Trump gets hold of this and he tears the state down and tears Cuomo down, all of the gains that have been made during COVID will be undone.
Right. And but
go ahead.
But that comes strategic PR because all of this is the fault of the Trump administration.
Right.
And we already knew that New York was going to be hit hard by the sheer number of people and then just the number of people stacked on top of each other. I mean, I get what they're saying is we didn't want them to get a hold of this information. But at the same time, withholding the information didn't help the populace either. So
yeah. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you. Go ahead.
No, it's just like, all right, they're like, okay, we don't want Trump to get it because we don't want to look like we bad, but, well, we could just let the people take the brunt of it. And that's literally what happened. The people took the brunt of it. I mean, because that's where good public relations, I get everything you're saying about the media and the power they yield and all these different things, but just keep the narrative going that, hey, man, we wouldn't be in this COVID, well, at that time, just the epidemic in America, if the Trump administration hadn't done this. And I'm just thinking maybe they just knew their PR wasn't that good. I don't know.
Well, I think the Democrats as a whole had to accept the fact during the Trump administration that they could not match his ability to control narratives. They couldn't. Trump's megaphone was louder and bigger than everybody's, and that's because for the better part of the last three decades, Trump has been building a megaphone. So, you know, sitting him in the most powerful position in the free world, or however you want to label it, amplified the megaphone that he already had that was extremely outsized compared to anything any politician has ever wielded, all the way up, you know, going back to Ronald Reagan, who was another celebrity politician.
Right.
So I don't think they made the right decision at all. Like, I think there had to be another option. I don't know what all the options were that they were looking at. But if they'll, you know, like, they're supposed to be the brightest of the bright, the smartest of the smart. There had to be a better option on the table than doing this. Even if you do just have to go straight up with Trump and just try to go head up with it, release the information and just, you know, let it be what it be. Dealing with it like this on the back end, just like, if I was in the room making that decision, I'd have been like, yeah, this is not a smart way to play this. If you're going to hide it forever.
Yeah. Because especially like you, like thinking about the image of Cuomo, and I got to start remembering my white people, because I be getting all these folk mixed up. But
that was awful.
Yeah, I'm just being real, man. I really do, because I was thinking Cuomo. I was saying Cuomo, but I was thinking somebody else earlier. So, but the image of, this is a good person. This is a fair politician to the most part. This is a politician who's actually at least looking like he caring about the people and taking actions to care about the people. But on the back end, he like, hey, man, we got a lot of people dying and a lot of elderly people dying, and we ain't gonna talk about it because we don't want no bad press. But people still dying and people are being affected by that. And so, like I said, go back to the choice was either we look bad or people die. So.
Yeah, and I would be interested. I haven't read deep into this story, which is why I'm keeping my opinions to a minimum. But I would be interested to know what actions they were taking in addition to keeping it quiet. Because if they were keeping it quiet, but they were still doing everything they could to alleviate the situation, it's still bad that you kept that sort of information quiet. But it's not as bad as if you tried to just hide everything altogether. Like, but I don't know. I just don't think, like, to me, I'm an honest person at my core, and something like that, something as serious as death.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you got to be straight up with that. You can't hide that.
But the American people are always going to take the brunt of the fall when it comes to people in these positions saving their ass. And that's, for a lot of people, that's one of the biggest griefs with the American government, is at all costs, and not just the government, even with the wealthy of the world, at all costs, they're willing to allow people to die and suffer, and then they might sacrifice people, but they're not willing to sacrifice and do them things for them damn selves. Like, you always hearing Bill Gates talking about depopulation, like depopulate people. But bitch, you and your let's start with you and your family. But y'all ain't willing to do that.
But I think this situation is a little bit different, only because the situation with Trump was a situation to where if it had gone bad, it could have potentially resulted in more deaths. Like, you know, I think they were thinking about it, and I'm just playing devil's advocate at this point. I think if the way they were thinking about it was, if Trump gets a hold of this and he starts his attacks and people lose faith in the few Democrats that they have faith in, and they really start to believe that COVID is a hoax and that Democrats are using this to just kill old people, more people are going to die because more people are going to be, more people are going to stop taking the necessary safety precautions to protect themselves and their family from COVID. I think just the way America as a whole handled the pandemic put a lot of places in a compromise. Cause like here in Charlotte, there were a lot of talks and rumors about the numbers being kept under wraps. And there were a lot of different motives for that all over the country. There were places where the numbers were suppressed. And there were a lot of different motives for that. But one of the motives that I actually recognized and felt like was a genuine concern was the panic effect. You know what I'm saying? Like, people finding out things are as bad as they really are, and people doing stupid things that make it worse. Like the whole toilet paper situation, the whole hand sanitizer situation. And it wasn't like people were hoarding these things for themselves. A lot of these people were hoarding these things to sell to other people at extremely high marked up prices as predatory practices in the marketplace from people trying to take advantage of a life or death situation. Right. So like, I see it. I can kind of see the direction they were coming at it from. I still think it was bullshit though. Yeah. I think he was wrong for doing it 100%. I'm just at this point trying to play devil's advocate, trying to be like, well, why the fuck would he?
At the end of the day, just we understand the strategy behind it. Like, we get that. Right. That's clear. That's clear. But for me, anything that ends up being at the expense of the lives of the people that you as a politician need, and you cool with making sure these people are dying, and you don't want to cover it, you want to cover it up, you don't want to make sure you do everything you can, you tripping. I mean, because we all, like I said, we're already playing from behind with the federal government not being in place, not having the infrastructure or even the organization to deal with COVID. But then on these local levels, we got these people doing this and hiding the information. It's not cool. So, Como, side-eyed. You get side-eyed like a mug, boy.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I haven't really been following it. I know his brother, Chris, is a very prominent news anchor on CNN. So it'd be interesting to see how Chris Cuomo is, how he covered that, or if he covered it at all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. God damn it, man. But that's why a lot of people be like, man, fuck the government, man.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I say it's the bad decision, because people already don't trust the government. They don't. And that's something that Trump capitalized on. And that's something that Republicans continue to capitalize on, is the distrust that people have for the government. You know, political apathy and the lack of participation is what drives the Republican platform, because they are a minority platform. The majority of the people in this country don't agree with what they're saying. But the majority of the people in this country don't participate politically, which allows them to maintain positions of power.
Yeah.
So as a Democrat, your goal has to be to restore as much trust and faith in the government as possible, because you know that when people turn out in large numbers, you benefit from that. So that's the chief reason why this was, even from a political standpoint, that's the chief reason why this was a bad move, because it hurts your party in the long run with people no longer trusting the government. How many people now are going to be like, see, this is why you can't trust the government. I'm not voting no more. And those are potential Democratic votes. Yeah. And now just going to sit at home.
Yeah. But I do think that it was when February, by the time the next election rolls around.
Oh yeah. People better forgot.
Yeah, so only folk like us gonna be the ones who remember stuff like this.
Well, I don't know though, because you know, Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, and Democratic Party as a whole is still catching flat for shit they did in the 90s. So,
you know, it's a possibility, but I just, me knowing American people, for the majority of the people, the majority of people who voted Democrat, they still gonna vote Democrat no matter what. No matter.
No, they are.
Democrats can do any and everything wrong, and they still gonna vote for them. You're gonna have some people gonna be on the fence for a little bit, but then they're gonna come back. Then you're gonna have folk like us who is like, well, I mean, it just want me to forget.
But you're talking about their core. And when you're talking about the core of either party, they're going to vote their party regardless.
Yeah.
But what I'm speaking to is that undecided voter, that true independent that is going to vote. But it's because most independents are, statistically speaking, progressive leaning. They do lean left because most of the people in America lean left. So I'm thinking about those people who, when the next election comes around and the Republicans start doing what they do. And again, we got to be honest, they do it very well. They control narratives and present arguments very well. They are very good at presenting their arguments from supposedly neutral sources that find their way into spaces
that
they should not be in.
That's not a strength of the Democrats to control the narratives the way they do. The strength of the Democrat is to build that long-term followership.
Right, but they haven't been effective at doing what they need to do because the Republicans have been extremely effective at injecting messages into a political discourse in spaces where those messages shouldn't exist. And this is one of those arguments that I see coming back around and being injected, you know, from neutral sources, all of a sudden reminding everybody that in the first part, the early part in January, February of 2021, Andrew Cuomo hid the numbers, or you know, it came out that he was hiding numbers from nursing home. Like, I could see that. See that coming up.
It's going to pop back up, but let's just be real. Black folk not gonna not vote Democrat.
That's who I'm talking about.
Because if we talk about America, Americans take race out. Americans can be swayed. But our people, black folk,
it's either blue or nothing. We either gonna vote Democratic or we not gonna vote at all.
Yeah. So there's no in between. Even though you usually, especially for presidential, you usually have four other candidates on the ballot. But they be like, them people not gonna win. The people don't have a chance. You know what gives them a chance? Voting for them.
Yeah, I done got so tired of trying to break that argument down for people. People be like, I'm not gonna cast my vote for a losing candidate. You know why they losing?
Because you don't.
Because you won't cast your vote.
And it'd be funny because you'll talk to the person and they'll actually believe that the person is the best person for the job, but won't vote for them because they don't believe that they're popular enough. And be like, man, stop voting like you're doing student government.
But But that's what I mean. If we being real, this is where I'm regularly saying Americans haven't matured past high school. Like in bulk, the majority of us, like the way we think and the way we thought about the life and the world in high school is kind of the way we think about life in the world moving forward. And the way we make decisions doesn't change. Like life experiences allows us to dress up our immature views.
Yeah.
And mature clothing.
Right. And cars and jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we can present our immature views in a very mature way. But the view itself, the core view is still that immature view you had as a 17, 18 year old.
Right.
Unless you go to college, in which case now your progression stops at 21, 22, whenever you graduated college for most people.
But you still have been miseducated, especially on the voting process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still a popularity contest because it's the same thing in college. Like student body government in college is a popularity contest. In high school, it's a popularity contest. In middle school, it's a popularity contest. So lo and behold, when they become adults, and it's you're still making what? Real live decisions, it's still a
popularity contest.
A popularity contest. So
hey, that's how people are saying, well, we can't vote for anybody else but Joe Biden because Joe Biden is the only person who has a chance to beat Trump. And you know what made that? Well, it's several factors that made that possible. The Democrats didn't help, but just the way people think. So that's Como. Como may take a hit, but I doubt it. I thought he'd take a significant hit from that.
Well, for him to take a hit, there has to be a Republican candidate that's actually worth a damn. And that's where I'd be like, it might not matter much because it might not matter much because there might not be a Republican candidate that's worth a damn.
Hey, man, so we're coming up on this 1 hour mark. And we want to make sure that we keep our shows around the 1 hour mark. Sometimes they go longer. Sometimes we need to, but I'm going to start making sure we keep them up around this 1 hour mark. So make sure you go check out last week's show where we talked about the lady. It was Black Caregiver, White Supremacy. That was the name of the show. So go check that out. We talked about the Black caregiver who was spit on by the white lady she was taking care of. Talked about the murder of the teen in Louisiana. And we also talked about something else that I can't think of right now. I don't know. But hey, go check the show out and other past shows. We've been dropping that fire, son. On you, our YouTubers, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share. Get the algorithm for our listeners via our podcast platforms. Appreciate y'all because y'all the ones probably been rocking with us from the get. So appreciate you all and all the new people that rock with us. Thank you all. Make sure you check out Freedom Train Network website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you support PAX Inc., PACTSINC. Support Lessons from the Screen, the Fix Sports Podcast, Shelby's World, the Enigma Sept Hour, and the Featured by Cliff J3, by CJ3. CJ3. Check that out. Any parting shots you got, Pat?
Power to the people.
Piss hour to the people. And, oh, yeah, let's stop waiting on Hollywood to drop movies for us to care about and research and celebrate our heroes. Shout out to Chairman Fred Hampton. With that being said, I'm Joseph Ward, a.k.a. Willie Earl. He's Patrick Irvin, a.k.a. Rufus. And we out.